The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." But his disciples had gone into the town to buy bread. But the Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews used to have nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." But the woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and this cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" But Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not be thirsty again or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." But Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation has come from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." But the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us everything." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. More and more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Now let me offer a few brief comments on this reading. I don't want to keep you unduly. In Samaria, in the Holy Land, part of the West Bank, what we hear about the West Bank, there is Jacob's well. It's near a big town called Nablus. In the Gospel, it's named Sychar. It's also called Shechem. And the well is still there. You can move a synagogue, you can move a church, but you can't move a well. And it's the only well in the greater area around there in Samaria. Some of you who have been on our pilgrim journeys will remember going to that well. And when we went to the well with the pilgrims, I had the women come around the well and they put down the bucket and they drop the water. The well is 70 feet deep. So the bucket goes down and down and down. And then you roll it and it comes up. And then we drink the water from the same well mentioned in this gospel reading today. It's absolutely fascinating. And I think those pilgrims who went there especially found that very enriching by way of an experience that is today, but it brings back to life an experience that happened 2,000 years ago in this gospel reading. The second thing to understand about this is there was a huge, hostile, anguished division between Samaritans and Jews. It has an historical basis, going back 500 or 600 years before Christ to the Babylonian exile. When the Babylonian exile finished, the big division happened. It's got a lot of history to it. But they were hostile, dug in as enemies, the Jews and Samaritans. Therefore, for a Jewish man, Jesus, to ask a Samaritan, and especially a Samaritan woman, given the patriarchal culture of the Jews, that was an extraordinary intervention by Jesus. And he initiates the conversation with the Samaritan woman. There's a longer version of this gospel, which we didn't read today, which tells us that this woman has been married 5 times. It's very enterprising. And she is now living with a man who is not her husband. That's extraordinary. I mean, today it might not be too extraordinary, but in those days that was very extraordinary. However, she's married 5 times, but Jesus never makes a judgment about her. Jesus sees the goodness in her. Jesus sees the possibilities. He sees the beauty. And after Jesus has this gracious, welcoming conversation with her, she goes back into the town and she tells the people, "I think I found the Messiah." And the people come out and they begin to believe in him. Therefore, she is the first one in the Gospel of John to carry the message of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. This extraordinary statement that the one who might be condemned or judged in a society becomes the first one to carry the good news of Jesus. Just keep that in mind. Now, what do we learn from this? I had a teaching about this gospel some years ago when I was in Turkey and in Greece on a sabbatical. And I headed off with my backpack to follow the journey of St. Paul, going to Turkey and then coming up to Athens. And I was traveling in a bus from Istanbul to a place called Izmir in Turkey. I didn't have much money, I was traveling very simply. So I was on what's called the dolmuş, which is the cheap old smelly bus that the local folks go on. And I'm traveling in this bus, I want to go to Ephesus. Ephesus is an extraordinary place. Some of you have been to Ephesus. I went to Izmir and then get a bus to Ephesus. On the bus, there was a young couple from Australia. And they sat across from me and I got to talk with them. And Steve and Michelle were from Sydney. And they've been traveling in Europe for 2 years. Young Australians do that. And they worked the beer festival at Munich, made some money, and then they went on. They had backpacks and they had a tent. So they said, I told them I'm going to Izmir and then to Ephesus. They said, "We're going there. And then I'm going to go across the Greek Isles. I'm going to go on a ferry." And they said, "Do you want to travel together for a week?" And I said, "Yes." So we traveled together for a week and went to Ephesus and then went to Kushadasi and went across on the ferry to the Greek islands. And they were very interesting. We spent all days together, went around Discovery. I saw things in the Greek Isles that if St. Paul saw, he didn't write about it. It's kind of an extraordinary hedonistic culture, but nonetheless. So we had a great time. We were out at night, I was singing, had a great time. It was a little step aside a little bit from the sabbatical. And we talked and talked. I became kind of a father figure for them. They were 22 years old. And I said, you have to go home. You can't live like this. They were in love. But I was very attracted to them, and I began to write them into my journal every night. They were very honest. They told me about all their pains. They had a big fight, and they broke up for 3 months, and then they came back together, and the pain. And they were very open. They were very transparent. I was impressed by that. They didn't wear any masks. And I noticed on the ferry, they would help the older people to take the luggage off the ferry. They were very sensitive, very nice. I began to see the goodness in them. And after the week, I was going up to Athens, and they wanted to go to Egypt. And I said, I will tell you what to see in Egypt. I've been to Egypt a number of times. Okay, I'll tell you what to see, and then go home, and I'll call you for Christmas in Sydney. So I'm leaving on the ferry to go up to Athens, and they're going to go find their way down to Egypt. And I blessed them on the dock as the ferry left. And when I got to Athens, I was writing my journal that night, and I said to myself, they've been in that tent for 2 years. I presume they're not just saying the rosary in there for the last 2 years, but it didn't matter. I saw their goodness. I saw the goodness. And I wrote in my journal, I wonder if they showed up at Holy Family and they said they wanted to get married, would I first show them a book of law, and after I lost them, wish I had loved them first? Or would I first show them a book of love, and after I have welcomed them and blessed them and understood them and seen the goodness in them, then invited them to meet Jesus Christ? In our week together, not once did they ask me about God. And each morning, they're struggling out of their tent. I stayed in a little pension. What I've been doing, I say, I've been praying. I'm a man of God. Get up and say mass in my little place. Never asked me about God, but I saw the goodness in them. And it changed the way I approach people at Holy Family. I said, always first show a book of love, a book of patience, understanding, and then later introduce them to Jesus Christ. That's the teaching of this gospel. It's a teaching about a church. It's a teaching about a family. It's a teaching about a community. Pause, stand back, take a second look, and look for the goodness that's in people that just don't seem to fit in. That's Holy Family, I hope. All are welcome. Now, having said that, I came back, said, all are welcome, all are welcome. You might remember this. So I got this song up in a song sheet. And all are welcome. We all began to sing, all are welcome. Everybody is welcome. The choir was singing, all are welcome. It's wonderful. This is a fabulous community. We're all welcome. I think I might have told you the story, but it's worth remembering. Then one Sunday at the 9:30 Mass, the cameras are rolling, and up to communion comes these two gay men. They're very obviously gay. I mean, they've got all the shirt open down, the medallion, they've got funny hair and all that. Very gay. Each one carrying an infant baby, walked one behind the other, came up in the communion line here. They didn't want the Eucharist, they wanted a blessing. So I gave each of them a blessing. And then I went to Julie Smith, who was running the TV that morning, and I said, Julie, I hope you didn't get any tight shots of the communion. Oh, she said, no, I saw those two fellas, and I hope you didn't get any tight shot. No, she thought I got wide shots. I said, that's good. Then I thought that night, all are not welcome at Holy Family. We're saying all are welcome, but they're not. These two men are not welcome. So I went to Julie and said, next Sunday, get tight shots of the communion, get these fellows in, no problem. And when they came up, I gave them a blessing and said, I want to talk to you after Mass. I'm sure they thought they were in trouble. So after Mass, I met them outside there. And I said, now, you're welcome here. I want to get to know you. I want you to feel welcome, respected, honored here at Holy Family. I want to get to know you. Tell me about yourselves. And I brought people over. Come on over, meet these new parishioners, some of our. And the first fellow told me his name. He said the baby they had Down syndrome. They adopted the child. The second baby was so damaged at birth, the county couldn't get anybody to take the baby, and they took the baby. Now it changed, absolutely, the way I saw them. The kindness, the generosity, the courage they had. And they stayed with us for about 6 months, and then they moved away. But I learned, they became my teachers. All are welcome. Not just tolerate, no, but welcome. That's the teaching of this gospel. And it has something to do with the parish. It has something to do with your family. It has something to do with your community, the way you look at people, the way you judge people, the way you see people from a distance. And you don't always see their goodness. So this gospel says, stand back, take a second look, and always look for goodness in people. That's what Jesus did. It's good teaching. It was a teaching for me, and I hope it's a teaching for the parish, for our families, and for our communities. Amen.